This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading not one, but two Parshios again, Parshios Achrimos and Kedoshim. And we begin with Parshios Achrimos, which takes us at the very beginning through the process of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And we're told, because when the Kohen Gadol will go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ksones Bad Kodesh Yobash, that he should wear a holy linen tunic. And Rashi notes that the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear the eight big day kahuna when he was in the Kodesh Kadoshim on Yom Kippur because they contain gold. And we have a rule that in Kategar Nasa Sanegar, the prosecutor, in this case the gold that reminds us of the ego, can't become the defense. And if that's the case, how does the Kohen Gadol wear gold outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It seems like it's the wrong thing for him to do. So Rav Shlomo Volba Zatzal noted that when one is inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to be as though he's at one with Hashem. And so intense is the Devekas in that scenario, there is no room for anything that separates. But outside, we're visiting Hashem and Hashem's place, and so there's limits to the boundaries of the experience in those places. And so inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there can't be anything that serves to divide us and separate us from Hashem. But outside, plenty of room. We're told that Ibn Asan al Shnei Asirim Goralos, one of the steps in the process is the Goral process. Goral Echad LaHashem, and Goral Echad LaZazel, the Rosh Shiva Yeshiva Farakaway, Rabbi Yechiel Yitzchak Pershalita noted the symbolism of the Goral. Clearly, all things, even the Kohen Gadol, would prefer that the goat on his right go to Hashem, but there's no way to properly stack the lottery. The lots are exactly the same. They're even, and the same is true for people at the time of birth. While everyone would prefer not to make the choices, the Avoda of the Se'irim teaches us that we must make choices in life. We tend to think that we will be along with others if we go Lazazel, but in the end we go off the cliff alone. And so recognizing that that's our potential for our end, it'll hopefully give us the means to curb our temptation and bring us to tshuva and to forgiveness to make sure that we work in a certain direction. At the same point in time, when the Sar Lazazel is heading off, we're told, V'shilach biad ish iti hamidbara, it should be sent by the hand of the man of the hour. So Rav Shimshon David Pinkus, Zatzal, compared this situation to the situation when a person is trying to overcome sin and admit. In other words, he explained that if a person needs to know that a mashkiach is not a broom, because while both cleanse, a broom often becomes covered in the filth that it's trying to sweep away. And in this action, there's a method to the cleaning and some of the lessons to be learned from it. And the first thing we have to know is that sin has to be sent, it needs to be sent by the Ish-E-T, by the one who's prepared to handle it. The Ish-E-T needs to remove the evil far from the camp. Where? To the Midbar. And that there also has to be Malavin. There have to be those who accompany him in order to keep him on the straight and the narrow. We're told, Ushmartem es Mishmarti, you should observe my charge. At the end of Parshas Achrimos, the Gemara in Yevamos uses that pasuk Ushmartem es Mishmarti to teach us the pasuk that we have a responsibility, Asu Mishmeres LeMishmarti, to add protective fences around the Torah. And this is one of the three things that the Anshei Knesset HaGadola insisted upon, right? Asu Siag LaTorah. Rav Shachter quoted the Balatanya, you noted that the idea of Gezeros, coming when we don't have an independent Jewish government. In other words, when we're under another authority, it's more likely that we will become enslaved to the Satan. And the Gzeros are important then, because under those circumstances, that's when we run a risk. Rav Shachter added that when one is enslaved to his own challenges, he or she is also responsible to introduce a personal harchaka to protect himself or herself in the process. So the Mishmeres, to make it a full-fledged rule, that we have certain rules as to when we make zeros for the entire tzibur, but that an individual feels a certain responsibility, that's an individual responsibility at those moments to rise to the occasion. We're also told, we're told, don't put a stumbling block before a blind man, and if this is the case, then why does Hashem put stumbling blocks? After all, why give us a Yetzirah that we can't withstand? So Rav Pam explained that this is like what happens when a person digs a 6-foot hole in the middle of the street. Clearly the person is chayev if someone else gets hurt. However, when the person puts up cones and flashing lights and warning signs and gives the victim an opportunity, but the victim ignores the sign, it's on the victim. And so Hashem didn't simply give us a Yetzirah, he gave us a Torah to be the antidote to the Yetzirah's misses. Either we rise to the occasion or we lose. one of the other mitzvahs in the parsha, we're told lo sasu avel ba mishpat ba midah ba mishkal ba misura. We shouldn't carry out a miscarriage of justice with weights and measures and volumes. Of course, Rebelsky noted that the prohibition of dishonesty is written twice, once for the individual, that appears in Parshas Kiseitzeh, and here again in Parshas Kedoshim, as it affects the community. Says Rebelsky, a Jew is not allowed to keep faulty weights, and by the way, a community has a responsibility to create an environment of honesty and fair play. Rebelsky added that in his experience, the community doesn't hold financial integrity up to the standard to which we should all aspire. When a person steals, or he cheats, or he swindles, but he can act in a religious manner, many communities look the other way and at times even reward the person with honor. But it's a communal responsibility not to accept dishonesty in financial matters from its membership. The community has that first responsibility. We're told, V'abdil eschem min ha'amim li'osli, I separated you from the nations to be there for me. And Rashi explains that if you're separate, you're separated, you're for me. But it's like you're like Nebuchadnezzar and his friends. Why are we comparing ourselves to Nebuchadnezzar? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on daf Tzadi Beis Amid Beis, notes that emotionally Nebuchadnezzar had the power to captivate spirits just like David HaMelech. And so strong were his compositions that HaMelech needed to come and slap him in the face. And Rabbi Yashiv notes that even with the great expressive emotional spiritual talent, Nebuchadnezzar had no ability to capitalize on it. And that's the difference between a healthy Jew and Nebuchadnezzar. If you can capitalize on Jewish spirit and turn it into practical, achievable actions, great. If not, you're no better than Nebuchadnezzar. We have a responsibility to be better than Nebuchadnezzar. We have a responsibility to be something above and to make sure that our capitalization is not personal, but rather something that's greater than the rise of the individual within each and every one of us. Rosh Hashanah used to note to us that when Parshios, Achrimos and Kedoshim are read together, we always have to make sure that we never want to say Hoda es Yerushalayim es kol toiv osah. So we always read the Haftorah of Parshas Achrimos, which is Halok ibnei Kushiyim atemli. In the context, the Haftorah tells us Bayom ahu akim es sukas David hanofelos vegadarti es pirtzeim amos, tells us on that day I'll raise the sukkah, the fallen sukkah of David, and I'll fence in the holes. The famous Ibn Magid, Rav Yaakov Kranz, noted that there's a difference between a home and a sukkah. The sukkah falls easily, yes, but it can be rebuilt relatively easily as well. At the same time, the home is always more sturdy, and it can take a lot to knock it down, but it also takes a lot to rebuild. And the same is true for the Beis HaMikdash, which has been known as a sukkah in the past because of its temporary status. But in the future, Hashem will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with the same ease that he can rebuild the sukkah, but he'll fix the holes and sturdy them, as this bias will be able to stand forever. May we be zocha to experience it, and may we all be zocha to the day that will be a Shabbat Shalom to all.